It's the 20th of December. So I want to talk to you about preparation today, about waiting. Who's been waiting for Christmas? Kids, get your hands up. Who's been waiting? It's fantastic, isn't it, Christmas? Okay, good. Christmas is about waiting and about preparing, yeah? About preparing for the coming of the King. So back in Jesus' day, the Israelites were there and they were waiting. They knew that the King was coming and they were waiting. Who's experienced that waiting before? That window's waiting. Does me in. You kids will never know the pain of dial-up internet. Boom, 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 boom. And you're just sitting there. I remember I just used to take food with me and I'd sit there and you'd wait and there'd be a picture loading up and the picture would start from the bottom and it'd scroll down and down. Just a single picture, kids, could take a minute if you were lucky. When you're waiting for Christmas, just something that you guys may not be aware of, the significance of Jesus' birth split time, right? We have before Christ, BC, and AD. Anyone to tell me what AD stands for? Boys, don't say what you're going to say. Anno Domini? Yeah, correct, which basically means after Christ, yeah. So it's a bit exciting. It's the idea that the past is gone and now is here. But up to that point, they had to wait. Now, who's been waiting this year? COVID's given us some strange things, been waiting. I'm going to give you some things. I did a little bit of research on the interwebs. People have been waiting this year for COVID to pass and for a vaccine to arrive, yeah? People are waiting for the US election to be over. I think it's over. We got a conspiracy theorist. Okay, all right, no problem. People have been waiting for year 12 results. People were, well, early this year anyway, till about August, they were waiting for the Crows to win a game. people were waiting maybe for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Still waiting. Ouch. You might be waiting for a job. You might be waiting for a family or a work issue to pass. You might be waiting for kids to clean their rooms. Still waiting. Or you might be waiting for presents at Christmas time, if you're the kids. Sometimes it feels like God doesn't care, yeah? And it feels like you're waiting for something. Some of those things you're waiting for, some of them were a little bit of fun, but you might be waiting for something serious. You might be waiting for God to heal a loved one. You might be waiting for an answer to prayer. You might have had something spoke upon your life and you're like, okay, God, I've been told this is going to happen, but when's it going to happen? I'm waiting. I'm sick and waiting. I'm sick and tired of the waiting. Thank you for your communion message, by the way. Don't sit around and do nothing. Don't think. Don't hope. Do. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. And this idea that... I've got to wander across the other side of the stage here. The idea that the adventure of getting from point A to point B is part of the fun. And that you're not waiting. You're on the adventure. And you're doing things. And you're not sitting there staring at the screen. You're preparing. You're getting ready for when you get to that point B, for what's coming. Watching, and don't watch the circles go around. You get dizzy. Who here has been pregnant? Yep. Just the girls. Don't think any guys put their hand up. For the guys, who's had a pregnant wife? Yep. Me too. I don't want to give secrets away. I don't want to pump the girls up too much. But pregnant wives are amazing. I think it's the nicest thing I've ever said about my wife, actually. Pregnant wives have a choice. And for the one time in your life, you've probably got a good excuse to sit on the couch and eat Doritos and watch Netflix. Yes? They don't do it. So for those boys here who haven't had a pregnant wife and one day might have one, pregnant wives are just incredible. They prepare. They don't wait. They know this thing's coming in 9 months, 10 months, whatever it might be. 11 months. But they don't sit around on the couch. And I can speak from my experience. So we've had 4 kids out of 3 pregnancies. And Pauline was just incredible. She didn't sit on the couch. She never got any sleep. By the end of it, she was rolling out of bed, particularly with twins. Has anyone here perhaps who's experienced twins? No, you don't get out of bed, you roll out. But
if you've ever had an excuse to do nothing and she kept going and things were prepared. For blokes, Jared, I went to work. It was great. I didn't do anything. And I'd come home and the nursery was ready and the walls were painted. She wasn't sitting waiting. She was preparing. So Pauline, shout out to you. And all the blokes here, can you give your pregnant, well, formerly pregnant wives a round of applause? Right, enough of the girls. Let's get back to bloke stuff. So don't do that. While you're doing that, prepare, okay? Get ready. Be doing something else. Be doing something productive. I'm going to let you in on a secret. Kids, don't tell your brother, my brother this. Don't tell your uncle. I hate fishing. I just can't stand it. I actually like the fishing, but I can't stand the waiting, sitting around. And we obviously go out in a boat when we're fishing, which you normally have a bit of success. But just the sitting around just does my head in. So I usually go to sleep. Yeah, we put the rods in the water and I just go to sleep and say, wake me up when it's done. But when that fish strikes, I'm all in. And you know, the good fishermen, you know, they do the tug of the thing and they pull it one way and then they let it run and then they let the line come back in. I got no idea. I just wind the thing. And I'm going to put up a picture because there's always an opportunity for bragging. How good is that? That's me on the left there. It's a big fish. Mine's the biggest, by the way, if you're wondering. That was a good day. But imagine if rather than sitting around in the boat and doing nothing, I actually prepared for when the fish was going to get on the hook. Now you're going to say, well, what can you do? You can make sure all your lines are set in the right position. You can make sure the boat's cleaned up. You can make sure your gaffer hook is ready to go. You make sure the ice is in the bucket ready to go. Make sure your tags are ready to go if you're doing tag and release. There's so many things you can do. If you're out with a couple of friends, you can be chatting about life. You can spend that time productively, not waiting. Make sense? Mine was the biggest. Every time I tell the story of how we caught those fish, that's off of Victor Harbour, by the way. Every time I tell the story, that fish gets bigger. And forever will. The next day was pretty good too. I think there's another picture there. Now when it comes to preparing, if you're going to go out in a boat and it's hot and sunny, what do, kids? What's those three words on the right there? Slip on a shirt, slop on sunscreen and slap on a hat. I remember the TV ad. Obviously not well enough. And if you could see the colour of my arms from yesterday, I still haven't learned the lesson. That was awful, by the way. I blissed it up. That was really bad. It is really important to slip, slop, slap. And to prepare. Don't wait. Prepare. Can you put on the next slide? What's the scout's motto? Be prepared. Correct. Why do scouts be prepared? What's the idea of a scout being prepared? Something's going to happen. Be ready for it. Some of the things I've had that have gone well for me in life are when I've prepared. So hope. Check the spare tyre. Make sure you know how to change the tyre. What happens when the tyre goes flat? Well, you get the boys to do it. That's correct. No, there's no panic. Pauline, what happens when you're out amongst a group of people, it might be, you know, 200-300 people, and your shorts blow out? That happened to me about a month ago. We're standing in this group of people and the rest of it. Pauline's sitting behind me and she goes, honey, you got a hole in your shorts. And I'm thinking, you know, so big. She goes, nah, like seriously, like this big. Like your entire back of your shorts is gone. Be prepared. I had a spare pair of shorts in the car. So don't find yourself unprepared. And as you know, Hope, there was no panic when the tyre went. It was just like, okay, well, there's something we've got to do. I know what to do. You don't want to get caught out. I want to put the next slide up for you. We're talking about preparing. Advent. That's what the season that we're in. Anyone know what Advent means? Depending on your beliefs, your religion. Basically means preparing for the coming of the King. It also means waiting. And preparing for the coming of the King. It also means waiting and preparing for the second coming of Jesus. Now, so we got a job to do that we don't sit around waiting for Jesus to come again. We're preparing for Jesus to come again. Season of hope and expectation. Did you smack your sister for that one?
He did. Good. I just had to check you got that in.
On the next slide, I preached earlier this year from Isaiah 11 and about how there will, I'll just read it, there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. Just to recap on that just quickly, God anointed the family of Abraham, which came all the way from the lineage of Abraham to Jesus, to bring light into the world. It was a dark, dark world. And I'm not going to go into all the bits and pieces about how dark it was, but it was a scary, dangerous world. And Israel is God's people. And they'd get it one day, and they'd worship God, and they'd help the poor. And then the next day, they're back to worshipping idols and mucking it up. And then the next day, they're being good. They're worshipping God, and they're supporting the poor and supporting the widow and the downtrodden. And then they're back again worshipping idols and doing everything wrong. And they just went on and on and on. I wish I had a yo-yo here. I could just do the yo-yo up and down, up and down, up and down. That was Israel. And the prophecy of Isaiah was saying, God's going to cut you down. God's going to grab the tree of Israel and cut it down. It's going to look like that. And he did. And he said, but out of that shall come a shoot out of the stock of Jesse. Jesse was in the lineage of Abraham. And of course, Jesse became David. And we spoke before about how that became Jesus. That's pretty exciting. But that took about 600 years. So the prophecy had been made that the shoot would come out. And in Jesus' time, the people are back worshipping God and being good or better. But they're waiting for the shoot. And they didn't know where the shoot was coming from. It's kind of a cool picture, I think. We fast forward through to Mary and Joseph. And you all know the Bible story. They have to report for the census. Who did this? Who's done the census before? Yeah, it's kind of exciting. You don't have to travel, you know, 200 kilometres or anything like that, either on foot or on a donkey. Just fill a form out and lodge it online now, even better. Mary gives birth to a baby in Bethlehem. Paul, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What's Bethlehem in Hebrew? Bakery. Yeah, it's a house of bread. Yeah, Bethlehem. Yeah. 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 I don't eat lamb. Yeah. Sam Kekovich eats lamb. So, bakery, Bethlehem, yeah, the house of bread. And the idea of the house of bread, it's the bread of life. It's not feeding people on a Saturday night. It's actually giving them bread that will sustain them forever. I thought that was really cool when I read that. After the birth, so the baby's been here, the baby's been born in a manger, the baby's gone. The baby must have been born. And they go to the temple. So 8 days after Jesus has been born, they go to the temple. There's a cleansing ritual they have to go through. I won't go through the details. They do something to the baby. Ooh, I'm not going to go through those details either. But they name the baby. What do they name the baby? Very good. Very good. What's the Hebrew name for Jesus? Yeshua. Yep, that's right. What does Yeshua mean? It's salvation. Actually, it means salvation. Yeah. So Jesus was salvation. I thought that was kind of cool. At the temple, they do a baby dedication. So similar to like we do, they basically go to the temple to say, thank you, God, for the baby. Now, at the temple, when you think of a temple, you think of something like this big, right? The temple was huge. There's a guy in charge called King Herod. Now, if you want to do your homework on King Herod, a fascinating bloke, and the history behind King Herod was really cool, but basically there are a whole lot of kings and rotten kings and are involved in Rome, and they all thought each one was better than the other one, and they basically knocked off all their mates and so on and so on. And King Herod had actually proclaimed himself as the king of the Jews. And part of that was he made this temple massive. How big? About 8 Adelaide ovals. About the size of the Royal Adelaide Showgrounds. If you've been to the Royal Adelaide Show, not this year, but if you've been to the Royal Adelaide Showgrounds, that's a big place. That's the size of the temple. And they had about, say, up to 200,000 people would come through every day to worship. So I want you to picture that Mary and Joseph are at the temple, and they're with the baby Jesus, and they've come along. This humble little couple, these are not a big deal, these two guys. There's little Mary, she might be 15, and there's Joseph, he might be 20, and they've got a baby, and they've come to the temple to be cleansed and to say thanks to God and to name the baby Jesus. At the Royal Adelaide Showgrounds. Not in this building. At the Royal Adelaide Showgrounds. Can we have the next slide? There they are. I can't see. They might be on the Mad Mouse up the back there. Those who remember them. I don't know. Is the Mad Mouse still there? It's gone. Oh, you kids will never know going around the corner, that first corner on the Mad Mouse. At the show, or at the temple, of course we'll say at the show, there's this guy called Simeon. The Bible tells us that Simeon was full of the Holy Spirit and Simeon was a good man. If anyone could say something about me, it'd be that I was a good man. I couldn't imagine anything better being written on your tombstone at the end of your day to be said you're a good man. Simeon was a good man. Simeon was anointed by God. And Simeon, Holy Spirit, basically talks to Simeon, and he says to Simeon that before you die, you will see the coming of the king. Now, when that message came to Simeon, Simeon was about 20. And the story goes on that when Simeon's at the temple, Royal Adelaide Show, he's an old man. So I think maybe Simeon might be 80, an old man. And he's there at the show. He's been waiting how long? You do the sums from 20 to 80? Hope, you did maths. How long? 60, thank you. Yes, Hope didn't get it. She did maths in year 12. He's been waiting 60 years for the coming of the king. Waiting or preparing? Preparing. And there he is. That's Simeon up the back. He's sitting out. I'm just going to go for a walk. He's sitting up near the Mad Mouse and he's eating fairy floss. Or some hot American donuts, as they say at the show. And the Holy Spirit says to him, Simeon, he's here. Could you imagine after 60 years of hanging out at the Royal Adelaide Show and the Holy Spirit says to you, he's here? I don't know about you, I'd be freaking out. I'd be running around the showgrounds. He's here, he's here. And you'd be running, you'd be looking for him. Where is he, where is he? Now, got to remember when we talk about the king, the coming of the king, what would you be looking for? Someone maybe 30? Someone maybe 40? I'd be looking for a big strapping bloke, maybe 46 in a Tom Brady jersey. Pardon the self-indulgence. But I wouldn't be looking for a baby. I'd be looking for this big strapping bloke that's basically a warrior that's going to lead us. He's going to be our saviour. So he'd be looking around and he'd be going, where's the big fella? Where is he? Where is this warrior? Where is this king? And his people would be saying, hey, Simeon, how are you doing? Not now, mate. Sorry, I'm busy. I've got to find the king. I've got to find the king. And he's wandering around looking for the king. And he'd go past the show bag pavilion. And he's still looking for the king. I haven't seen the king yet. And then he'd go past the main arena. Go past the cows and the pigs. He'd run past the Ferris wheel. And the Holy Spirit would say, that's him. And there's a baby. And I can just picture Simeon there at the Royal Adelaide Show coming across this baby in the main arena. And he'd take a selfie, a quick selfie. And he'd update his Instagram. And he'd write, he's here. The king is here. He's a baby. Hashtag LOL. Hashtag Jesus. I'm not on Instagram, by the way, so I don't actually know what they do on Instagram, but I know it's something like that. Now, everyone knew Simeon, and they're all watching him. And what does Simeon do at that point? On the next slide. Takes the baby in his arms, and he looks to the heavens and says, Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I've got my own translation of this. It says, for my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord, for those who know the song, the battle hymn of the Republic. Yep. That's where that comes from. Just this idea that he'd been waiting for 60 years in something the size of the Adelaide Showgrounds, and he's looking around for the king, because he's been told the king's here, and it's not the king. What is it? It's a baby. The humility of God sometimes just leaves me just speechless. He didn't wait for 60 years. What did he do during those 60 years? You were saying. He was preparing. He was blessing people. He was doing good. He had himself ready for that moment, knowing that at some point the king's coming. And when that day come, was he ready? Well, he had to put his fairy floss down. But other than that, he was ready. Look at that face. What a beautiful picture. He was ready for the coming of the king. There's another person in the same story. It's a prophet called Anna. Now, the beauty of that picture is that can be Anna at the back. Now, the Bible says that after marriage, we can put up the next slide. You can read that yourself. But after Anna was married for 7 years, her husband passed away, and she was a widow until she was 84 years of age. It's interesting it says 84. When the Bible puts numbers in, it means something. And I think what the Bible might be trying to say here is not she was older. It's trying to say she was 84. So she was married at about, let's say, 14, 15, like they tended to be. And she was married for 7 years. So let's say just roughly around 21. She was waiting for 63 years. And she had a really cool story, as you can see there. She never left the temple. Never left the Adelaide Showground. She stayed there the whole time. I think you get arrested if you do that now. But this idea that this woman was totally devoted to waiting. No, she was like totally devoted to preparing for the coming of the king. And she knew the king was coming. 60 years, just wow. Worship day and night, fasting and praying. So what'd she do for those 60 years that she was waiting? Blessing people, doing good, helping other people. Not waiting, not sitting on the couch, not eating Doritos, not watching Netflix. And she spoke of the coming of the king, and everyone loved her. And we read, coming up to them at the very moment, Joseph and Mary, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Can you imagine how excited she would have been? Look at that face, 84 years old. He's here! How good is this? He's here, everybody! Praise God, he's here. You can imagine her running past the chairlift, can't you? Past Sideshow Alley, and she's telling everyone as she's going through Sideshow Alley, the king's here, the king's here. I don't know about you, that gets me excited. What can you learn from Anna and Simeon? Waiting's part of life. Yep, be patient. Yep. God might tell you something's going to happen. You might have a word of prophecy spoken over you. Spirit might stir in you and something's going to happen. But it may not happen yet. It's not going to happen tomorrow. The old VO5. Won't happen overnight, but it will happen. You're going to have the waiting. And during that waiting, you've got a choice. You can wait. Sit on the couch, eat Doritos, watch Netflix. Or you can prepare. You can put on sunscreen before you go fishing. We know the story of the 10 virgins who are preparing for the bridegroom. And 5 of them prepared, and 5 of them weren't ready for the coming of the bridegroom. That's the story of the coming of the king. And the second coming of the king, that you better be ready. So don't wait. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready for the coming of the king. And what I'm going to do, meanwhile, is I'm going to bless other people. I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to be friends with the nerdy kid at school. Kids, find that kid that nobody likes and be friends with them. That's preparing. I'm going to help the widow. I'm going to help the orphan. I'm going to help the community with things that they wouldn't normally have. I'm going to show the light of God. That's preparing. If the band can come. On the next slide, while you're waiting. You might be in a time in your life when you're waiting, so I want to challenge you to not think, not hope, to do. So firstly, three things. Prepare your mind while you're waiting. Prepare your thoughts. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Be thinking good thoughts. That's preparing. So study, learn about God. Fill your ears with good music. Godly music. Not some of the trash that we hear on the radio. Get a mentor, someone you might trust and respect, and bounce ideas off them and prepare your mind. The second one, prepare your heart. Do you love what is good and hate evil? Or does evil tempt you? Are you tender of heart? Do you see good in people even when they tick you right off? Do you see those you don't like as children of God? Are you angry all the time? Ask God to give you a tender heart and to make you a warrior for God, but to make you a tender warrior. There's a lot of people out there who get the first one right and they prepare their mind. They got awful hearts. Don't be one of them. Prepare your heart. And finally, prepare your body. There's work to do. Train and respect this amazing machine that God has given you. It is an amazing machine that God's given you to do things. Are you doing good things? You got habits you need to break? Change my doing, God. Make me generous, make me happy, make me someone who gives mercy, who forgives, who does good, and gets on with those things that need to be done. Let's pray. Lord, it's hard sometimes. We wait and we wait and we wait and we wait, and it just feels like it takes so long. Teach us to do, to prepare, to get ready, to get better every day. And if it takes 40, 60 years, however long it takes, when that day comes, we will be ready. No waiting. We're going to prepare. We're going to get ready. Prepare our minds, prepare our hearts, prepare our bodies, that we might think right, we might love right, and we might do right. Be with us all this Christmas. Be especially with those who have lost loved ones, who might be battling illness. For Christmas will not be a happy time. Be with those who are travelling in the coming week, or at least we were planning to travel. Keep them all safe. And when Thursday comes, let us remember. He's here. He's here. Jesus has come. Thank you for the hope we can all find in Christmas. And all God's people said.
Amen.